Last week, we began a study of the Gospel of Luke, and today we'll be in Luke chapters 1 and 2. We'll be reading again, as we did last week, about part of the story of Jesus' birth, more of it today. One of the first things that we learn about Jesus' birth and how it came about is that Jesus' mother, Mary, was not expecting to be expecting. Luke 1, verse 26. We read this part of the story last week, too. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age. And she who is said to be unable to conceive is in her sixth month, for no word from God will ever fail." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May your word to me be fulfilled." Then the angel left her. In verse 29, when the angel greets Mary, it says she was greatly troubled at his words. The Greek word that's translated "greatly troubled" there can also mean alarmed or even terrified. This was a frightening moment for Mary. So the angel in verse 30 quickly says, "Do not be afraid." Mary was not expecting to be expecting. And Joseph, her fiancé, was not expecting to be a father so soon, let alone the father of someone else's child. God was doing something totally unexpected here, and naturally it was scary at first, but Mary was willing to go wherever God wanted to lead her. A little later, when Mary has had some time to process the angel's message, we get to hear her thoughts on what God is doing for her and for Israel. So let's pick up in verse 46. "And Mary said, 'My soul glorifies the Lord. And my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but has sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, just as he promised our ancestors.'" Now, Mary at this point has had a little time to recover from her initial shock at the angel's appearance and message. She's had some time to think about what God is doing. And now, at this point, Mary glorifies God and rejoices. Her initial fear and confusion now lead to rejoicing. God is doing great things in her life. And not only in her life, but for all his people, Israel, and all those who fear him. Mary proclaims what God does for the faithful. He scatters the proud. He brings down rulers. He lifts up the humble. He fills the hungry. He sends the rich away empty. He helps his servant Israel. God is doing something totally unexpected. And Mary's first reaction is confusion and fear. But that first sense of shock now leads to rejoicing as she sees how God is working to bless her and all of his people. Then we come to the birth of Jesus our Lord, this passage that we read together just a minute ago, Luke 2, verse 1. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria, and everyone went to their own towns to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no guest room available for them. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. Jesus was born humbly, quietly, in a little town outside Jerusalem, at night, placed in a manger because his parents had to stay with the animals. There was no better room available. The Son of God, the Messiah, our Savior, born as a human being just like us, flesh and blood, to show how much God loves us and to lead us to God. Verse 9 tells us that an angel appears to the shepherds outside Bethlehem, and the shepherds are terrified, but the angel tells them in verse 10, "Do not be afraid." He tells them about the newborn Savior. He encourages them to go find this glorious child. And then more angels appear and glorify God in heaven and wish peace on earth. So then the shepherds go to find the baby, and they do find him with Mary and Joseph. In verses 17 and 18, they go out and they tell everyone what they have seen. They've seen angels. They've seen this baby that the angels told them about, and all who hear about it are amazed. And Mary, God is still doing unexpected things in her life. Mary holds on to it all. Verse 19 says, Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. No one expected God's Son, the Messiah, to be born so humbly. The shepherds weren't expecting angels to appear to them that night and announce the Savior's birth. It's always a little shocking when God upends the status quo and exalts the humble like these shepherds. and brings down the mighty and scatters the proud and blesses the humble like Mary and Joseph. It's always a little shocking when God does unexpected things. We're going to be walking with Jesus for a while in the Gospel of Luke over the next several weeks. And we are a community of people always trying to walk with God every day of our lives. One lesson we learn from the stories of Jesus throughout his life, and even right here at the beginning, is this. If you're going to walk with God through Jesus, you have to get used to expecting the unexpected. Somewhere in the Bible, it says, God is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us. If our God can do more than we can ask or even imagine, then of course he's going to do things that we don't expect. He's going to do things we haven't thought of. He's going to do things at a time when we didn't expect it to happen. This is not unusual for God. He's just doing what he always does, which is whatever it takes to bring human beings and our Creator back together. Mary wasn't expecting to be expecting, but through her, God brought his Son, our Savior, into the world. Joseph wasn't expecting to be a father so soon, let alone a father of someone else's child. But through him, God protected and provided for the family of the Messiah. The shepherds of Bethlehem weren't expecting to encounter angels that night. But through them, God began to spread the good news of Jesus, the newborn Savior. The people in Bethlehem who heard the shepherd's story weren't expecting any supernatural news that night. But God surprised them and began his great work of saving the world through Jesus. And the result of all the unexpected things God does throughout these events is glory. God glorified as he helps his people. Mary and Joseph getting to share in God's glory through the miracle of Jesus' birth. Shepherds witnessing the glory of God's angels. Angels declaring glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests. When God does unexpected things, the results are glory for God and blessing for the world. It may frighten us at first, the unexpected things that God does. But in the end, we get to share in God's glory. There were so many more unexpected events to come in the life and ministry of Jesus. Like the time when Jesus calmed the sea. Nobody expected that. The time when Jesus fed over 5,000 people from almost nothing. Nobody that day expected that. The times when Jesus healed so many who were sick or crippled or blind. The times when he raised the dead. Nobody expected that. The times when he rejected those who were self-assured in their faith or in their wealth. The times when he showed compassion to sinners who were turning back to God. The time when he suffered, betrayed, mocked, beaten, flogged, crucified. No one who believed he was the Son of God expected that. The time when God raised him from the dead, giving us real hope for eternal life, turning the worst that Satan could do to Jesus into salvation, making Jesus' death into a sacrifice that pays for our sins, turning death's conquest of the Son of God into God's mighty conquest over the power of death, giving us a taste of just how powerful our God is. Somewhere in Scripture, there's this little prayer asking God to strengthen us with power through his Spirit, and help us grasp how wide and high, long and high and deep is the love of Christ. And to know this love that surpasses knowledge, so that we may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Whatever your concept of God is, it is too small. Whatever your concept of God is, it is too small. Our God is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine. Our God is able to love us more deeply and work among us more powerfully than we could have ever expected. Our God routinely does the unexpected, not always as dramatically as he did with Mary and Joseph and the shepherds. This story really is exceptional in the history of the world. But God often works unexpectedly and more subtly, but no less powerfully. Have you never, in a quiet moment, been struck by just how incredibly kind God has been to you? Haven't you ever seen God at work in the life of a friend or a family member or someone in our church family and been amazed at what God has done for them? And sometimes it's scary when God does unexpected things. God calls us out of the life we knew and were comfortable with into the life that he envisions for us, which is far better because it comes from him. Unexpectedly, he gives you the strength to say no to a temptation that always used to overwhelm you. Unexpectedly, he gives you power through his Spirit to be a voice of peace when everyone around you is caught up in conflict. What does the story of Jesus' birth have to do with us? Well, to begin with, it's the story of the beginning of our salvation, a story of wonder, of hope, of joy, of promise. But then once we have begun to walk with God, it's a reminder. If you walk with God through Jesus, get used to expecting the unexpected. I was baptized into Christ when I was 15 years old. 15 and a half. Best decision I ever made in my life. Now, 31 and a half years later, God still surprises me all the time. It happens so regularly that I'm kind of used to it, you know? And I love it every time. God surprises me with who he calls to be a follower of Jesus. I've known convicted criminals, plural, several, washed clean by the blood of Jesus. Washed clean by the blood of Jesus. I met a prostitute who had become a follower of Jesus. I mentioned her in a sermon a few weeks ago. I baptized a teenage immigrant from China who knew that his faith would be frowned upon. Could get him into trouble with the authorities if he ever went back home to his native land. I'm surprised and delighted that according to our churches and our missionaries in Europe and in the Middle East, more Muslims have come to Christ in the last 20 years than in the previous 1,400 years combined. God is doing unexpected things in what we typically call the Muslim world. I marvel at how God takes hardship or even the devil's own attacks and spins them around and uses them for good. The worst Satan ever did was to bring about the death of Jesus on the cross. But God turned it into a sacrifice that pays for our sins and defeats the power of the devil. And then God raised Jesus from the dead to give us hope of eternal life. And even today, when the devil or just the normal course of events causes us to suffer, God uses it unexpectedly for good. When my dad gradually lost his hearing between the ages of 20 and 35. He'd always had hearing loss, but when he lost it pretty much altogether, that was tragic for him, just as it would be for you or for me. But the Lord led him into a new ministry to the deaf. And souls have been saved eternally, both in California and here in our own congregation, because of what God did through him. I am constantly amazed at how God transforms our lives when we walk with him. I have praised God privately with many of you over the years, as we have marveled together at how God has blessed our families or our friends or ourselves as they or we have turned to God in obedience to his commands. He really does change our lives. And we have marveled at that together and praised God together. It's wonderful and surprising every time. And after a while, you just get used to saying with tremendous joy, "Look what God has done for us." And you start to talk like Mary. You start to talk like Mary. "My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation." We start to talk like Mary. And it's good for us, like Mary did, to ponder all the great, unexpected things that the Lord has done for us and to rejoice in them. Because our God does unexpected things, things beyond all that we can ask or even imagine, we should be courageous as we live for him. We should be courageous. Our God does amazing, unexpected things. His power is beyond our comprehension. If we're walking with him, we should live courageously for him. Because our God does unexpected things, things beyond what we can ask or even imagine, we should pray diligently. We should pray and call on God to do his excellent work. Because if we call on him out of pure hearts, trying our best to live for him through the power of the Holy Spirit, if we come to him in the name of Jesus our Lord, he will hear our prayers and he will help us. Because our God does unexpected things beyond what we can ask or even imagine, we should look to the future with hope. God was there when the angels appeared to Mary, to the shepherds, when Jesus, our Savior, was born. God is with us today and getting us through what Bob a few minutes ago called an awkward situation, an awkward time for us. He's helping us through it. God will be there in the future when we get there. And so we can look to the future with hope. Mary wasn't expecting to be expecting. But she knew God well enough to be ready when the unexpected came and God called her into it. I want you and me and us together to believe so firmly in the power and the love of our God that we will be ready every time he does his unexpected work among us again. And every time he does, even today, we will, along with Mary, glorify the Lord and rejoice in God, our Savior. May God bless you today. May he work powerfully in your life this week in ways expected and unexpected. Let's pray together. Our God, we humbly submit ourselves to you to do in our lives and in our church and among us all whatever you would like to do, expected and unexpected. Give us courage, dear Lord, to go with you wherever you call us to go. Help us to be faithful to you in everything. Dear God, we thank you for your excellent power. We thank you for your great love. We thank you for the wonderful things that you did through the birth of Jesus our Lord, and then through his life and his death and his resurrection. We put our hope in him and we put our hope in you. We look to you, Lord, and we want to walk with you wherever you want to take us. Guide us this week, dear God. In Jesus' name, amen.